singing. That's good singing all the way around. I don't care where you're from. That's just good old-fashioned Southern gospel singing. And God is still good. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, in chapter number 18. Luke chapter 18. And as you find the place there, if you're able to stand, we'll look at about verse number 9. Luke chapter number 18 and about verse number 9. And he says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. There's a religious man, lost without God, two of them, no doubt. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even at this publican. That was a Jew, tax collector, no doubt. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you now for the good singing that we've already enjoyed together. We ask you now that you'd move upon us within us. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free as our heart's desire and prayer unto thee. We'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on tired of living a life and ready to be justified. Here's a man that whenever you look into it, there were two of them, and it's much that depicts what's going on in the day we live in. These are the kind of people that we ourselves are sometimes. I want to say to you that, if you will, that one of the things that we need to realize, that faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. But these guys obviously heard the buzzing of the lips, but they didn't take it to heart. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that they didn't have real God-given, God-sent faith. Do you know real faith that comes from God won't ever fizzle out? Now, I can tell you, whenever you find somebody up and down the road of life, and you say, well, where are you going to church at? Well, I ain't been to church in 10 or 12 years. They don't have God-given faith. Real God-given faith will keep you on the firing line with God. It's because that it came from heaven and that it came from a divine sense and by the preaching of the word of the Lord. I'll tell you what it'll do is it'll not fizzle out. Somebody said one time to me and told me, well, you know, I used to go this and I used to teach and I used to be part and I used to be in everything and used to. And I'm going to tell you, that's what's wrong with the average Baptist church. We got too many I used to beers. What we need is some I is and ours. I know that's probably not proper English, but it was from where I came from. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that if you're a child of God, God's given you something solid, something that's of longevity, and whatever God began in your heart, he'll continue, the Bible said, until the day that Jesus comes again. Just keep on believing God. Every now and again, there's a problem arises. Every now and again, something's going to go on. Something's not going to always go your way in line. But if you'll just keep your eye in tune with God, you ever get tired of listening to everybody's problem? Well, what you should do is you should be a pastor. We've never even heard of anything like that. You've got to realize and recognize is that I've got one or two points that I'm not good at in life. And my family just picks it to death. I don't want to be as bad off as this Pharisaical guy. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. That's the problem. We are like other men. We've got the same problem, the same temptation, the same heartache, heartbreak. Sometimes we're laughing. Sometimes we're crying. I'll just want to say to you that, if you will, here's a guy that's so full of himself, God couldn't do nothing for him. And you've got to be real careful about that, because let me tell you, when you believe God and keep on acknowledging God and keep on asking God and just keep yourself in the love of God, that's what the idea is that's here. You know, it's better, the Bible said over the book of Psalms 118, verse number 8, it's better to put trust in the Lord than to put any confidence in man. Over in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 3, about verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. Have you ever went through a period in life to where you thought and you just kind of shake your head and think, I don't understand this? Well, join the club, buddy. That's the annals of history in the Bible. There have been a lot of things that happened to a lot of men and women, boys and girls, they just didn't understand what was going on. I got to tell you right now is that there's a lot of times that I come to God with a lot of questions. And let me tell you is that you'll find that God's got all the answers. I may not be able to see it real clearly right off, but God's got all the answer. Do you realize to know that God has no questions? He knows the answer already before we're even asking. Now, here's a guy right here that these two religious men, both of them trusted in themselves starting out in life. And they were full of self-righteousness. They were both of them prayers, and they were both of them that, you know, that went to the house of God. Back then, went to the temple, no doubt about that. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that we're about to see a change in one of those men that's there. And let me tell you right now is these two different men with different backgrounds and all of that, a Pharisee, he was a religious but lost and steeped down in tradition. And then not only that, but you're going to find out is that here's a Jewish tax collector that, if you will, a publican. And regardless of whatever your background is, the idea is there's only one way to miss hell and make heaven, and that's to come into the Lord Jesus Christ and be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. In this lesson you're looking at, you'll find that one man is bragging upon himself. And let me tell you what he's trying, I guess, to inform God of how good that he is and all he's got in accomplishment. Did you notice in verse 11, he thus prayed with himself. I got to tell you, that's what's wrong. That was what was wrong with Judas Iscariot, is that whenever he went out and hung himself, remember that? I tried to return the silver where he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. They wouldn't take it. They threw it away, but he went out and hung himself. He repented himself. Well, you can pray with yourself, and it's not going to do a lot of good. You can repent to yourself, and that ain't going to do nothing. I want to tell you, here's a man that was so full of self, he said, I want to thank thee that I'm not like other men. But what do you mean? He's religious but lost. He doesn't know the Lord. And this Bible said, you'll find out, is that he was glad and pointed out the good points that he had and the good works that he did and how much better he was. He was talking to the Lord and like he was trying to fill the Lord in on how good. You may have missed it, Lord, but I want you to know how good a man I am. I pay tithes and of all I possess. I fast twice a week and so forth and on this and that. Here's a man that was full of self. He was happy with himself just like he was. Now, I want to tell you something. Here's a man right here, no doubt had heard a lot of truth and ignored all of it. I was thinking about in this lesson that's there, you're going to find out, is that you'll find is that like any lawyer willing to justify himself, and that's kind of the way that it is, they've got an argument that they want to be able to put up. And I got to say to you that, if you will, there were lying preachers back in Jeremiah's day, in the days of the New Testament, over in the book of Revelation. There's some of them that's been recorded there. I want to tell you something. It'd be good every now and again. You know, I'm afraid that independent Baptists have gotten so far away from God and so full of themselves. See what I'm talking about? Yeah. You ain't got a yes, sir, but me and Brother Ron are right on this deal. I just said all that to be able to let you realize and know that there's a lot of times that people are trying and willing to justify themselves. Now, I want to say to you, there's another man that's here that we've read about in these few passages here. And you're going to find that one of them, all of a sudden, while he had been in the same boat, no doubt with him, now all of a sudden, there's a change that he has in his heart. Do you realize that's what happened to you and I before we ever got saved? We were full of self. And then one day God changed something on the inside of us. This Bible said that here's a man that went to church like he usually did, but today something's different with him. No doubt today whenever he goes, something's happening inside him that's unexplainable by the human mind and by the human mouth and by the human tongue. You can't explain it. Here's a man that no doubt that something is about to take place. He knows something is wrong radically in his life. Do you know before I got saved, I had to realize there's something wrong with old Dennis. When you got saved, you realized there was something wrong with you like you were. Oh, you was a churchgoer. You was busy with all of that. Listen, you didn't cuss or spite or spit or chew or even spit on people that had spit on you. You were just busy. But all of a sudden, one day, God got a hold of your heart. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, here's what you're finding, is that you're going to find out that on this very day, when he realizes something's wrong, he wants to get it fixed. You know, there have been a lot of times that things that got were wrong and you couldn't get them fixed, but you can get them fixed if you want to. Here's one, he knows he's far off away from God somehow or another. He knows that. And I want to tell you what he does. He cries out, if you remember in the passages that we've read, he cries out for God to give him mercy. He knows he doesn't deserve forgiveness, but he wants mercy that comes from God. Now, you know, there's a passage over there in the book of Psalms, chapter number 57, about verse number 7, Psalms 108 and verse 1, and he talked about my heart is fixed. I'll sing, I'll give praise unto God. I'll not be afraid of evil tidings that come up and down the road of life. You know the reason being? I'll tell you why, because my heart's fixed. Every now and again, something's going to stir the pot. Every now and again, something's not going to go exactly right. But let me tell you, since the day I came to know him in the free pardon of sin, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. You know, when my wife and I, when we first got married, some nearly 100 years ago, well, it's over 50% of it, some 57 years ago, I mean, everything was just rocking along pretty good and all that business there. We had gotten married. She just barely had discovered the baby in me. What a big baby I am. And see, we're not the only one. Me and Nathan's not the only one, but it's a lot more fun talking about Nathan and what a big baby he is. See, we've known him, I've known him and all that business right there, and the same thing's wrong with him as wrong with me. He's having trouble. You know, sometimes y'all are a slow crowd. Did y'all catch that the other night when old Brother Tanner was up here preaching? He said, if you're a plumber, please wear coveralls. You're thinking, well, what does that mean there? Well, you're going to have to see a plumber that's bent down working on and all that right there. It'll crack you up. I just wanted to say all that to be able to say this, is that you're going to find, here's a man tired of the condition that he's in. And I'm going to tell you, if you're lost without God here tonight, a sinner, you're going to have to get sick of yourself and sick of your sin before you ever come to the Savior as an empty-handed beggar. I was thinking about in the lesson there, whenever we cry out for mercy unto God, he'll get it. You know, over there in the book of Luke, chapter number 16, there was a man that died. There was a, remember Lazarus, he was a poor man, and the dogs came and licked his sores and all that, but the other guy that was full of himself and all that, died without hope, without God, went to a devil's hell. But Lazarus was carried by the angels of God into Abraham's bosom. Well, let me say to you that, if you will, is that at that time, that lost man could look across out of the flames of hell in the heart of the earth, and he could see across that great gulf, and he could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Boy, he began to make a plea unto somebody to have, let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. But the Bible said there's a great gulf that's fixed. Now I bring that up for this reason. If you don't get your heart fixed now, you're going to one day be on the other side of a gulf where there's nothing but torments whatsoever. I said all that so that you'd be able to know that the Bible says is that you ought to want to get your heart fixed and get it right with God. Remember a young man by the name of Absalom? His daddy was David. And boy, Absalom rebelled against his father, wanted to steal the kingdom away from him, wanted to kill his own daddy, so forth and on. Of course, you remember he had those big locks of hair that he weighed up and so forth and on. He finally was riding along on the mule, and he got hung up in the boughs of a tree and by the head of his hair. And somebody came along and threw darts and killed him. And there was a man, and David, buddy, was brokenhearted and wept and cried, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom." Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, what was wrong with Absalom was he never had nothing fixed in his heart from God. If you don't never have your heart fixed, there are going to be some things that will put you in a real fix without hope and without God. I want to say in closing, remember the prodigal son, remember him? He was busy working there at the house. And he got to thinking, you know what I need is, I need my inheritance and I need it right now. Here's what I need to do is that I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to beg for him and I'm going to get my inheritance, so forth and on. And he got out there in the hog pen of the world, remember that? Yes, spent all of his living, spent it on riotous living. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that he realized real quick he's messed up whenever he came to the end of himself and came to the end of his money and his inheritance. And here's what he decided, I'm going to do. I'm going to return to the Father's house. And I'm going to confess what a sorry, good-for-nothing, low-life I've been. I'm going to confess and tell him I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And when he got down there to the Father's house and the Father had had a stalled calf waiting on him, and as he looked out across there and saw him coming, here's a young man, no doubt, hoping to be able to get it fixed and by his suave personality. And he goes to tell him the Father, and in the midst of his own confession, the Father says, I want you to take the best robe and put upon him, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and said, and kill the fatted calf, because my son was lost and now he's found. I got to tell you right now, God's more anxious for you to come to him than you are to get there. Amen. The Heavenly Father is waiting on you. What is it exactly you are waiting on? See what I'm talking about? I want to say to you that if you'd like to be able to get your heart and your business straightened up and straightened out and fixed with God, then why don't you find your place at an old-fashioned altar? It could be in the church house. It could be in the car behind the steering wheel. It could be at the foot of your bed, whatever that it is. Let me tell you, God is more anxious for you to come to him than you are to get there. But make no mistake about it, it's the only thing that'll get you straightened up, straightened out, and fixed in the sight of God. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us while we were unloved. Pray that now if there's one lost without God in our midst, you'd trouble them upon their bed tonight and trouble them until they find peace with thee and cry out for mercy. Thank you, Lord, for loving us even while we've been unlovable. Now bless the word to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray.